Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Friday to everybody out there. My Lord, my camera is way up close in my face. Holy smokes. Good to be here with you. That is way too close. What in the world?
Oh, boy. We're going to have to fix that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I'm going to turn it around or something. Nobody wants to see that. Like, you're looking right at my nose.
I'll put it on Ben here.
Yeah, put it on Ben.
Solo
look
shot.
Look how handsome Ben.
Ben
looks today.
Looking good.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, everybody.
It's good to be here with you guys on a Friday. And the mood is light and airy and fun. In here this morning, certainly, mostly because there was no, I missed having a game last night, certainly, but, you know, no crushing defeat or Xander Bogaerts off the hook for another day, at least. Man, we spent a lot of time talking about that guy yesterday, more than I would have liked, to be honest with all of you, but it's great to be here with you on a Friday, last show of the week for us. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel is literally hovering over my shoulder trying to get the camera dialed in. Because we are also on YouTube. You may be listening on your radio going, I don't know what you're talking about. We're also on YouTube. You can watch it there. A lot of people in the chat already, which is incredible. Thank you guys for being here. And Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. He joins us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I woke up today and, you know, grabbed my phone to see what happened in the 5 hours I was asleep. And usually it's not that much, but there was so much Taylor Swift talk on my timeline this morning.
Yeah.
Like, an insane amount of Taylor Swift talk. Apparently, she dropped a new album last night, but then...
Yeah, double album.
Then she dropped another album, essentially.
Nice to be...
Two times the number of songs.
Nice to be so prolific that you just have, like, just loads of songs that are done and ready to go, and then you're like, here's an album, and then you're like, here's another album. It's, like, it's incredible, actually. She's a very talented human being. I was talking to Paulie about it off the air this morning. I saw the same thing that you did when I woke up, Ben. And I got in the car, and I said, I'm going to listen to some of it. And I listened to the first track she did with Post Malone, and I said, it's pretty good. And I told Paulie, because she sounds a little bit like Lana Del Rey. And I said, I really like female singers a lot, and I really like when they jam a bunch of words into their lyrics. Like, I was standing on the street next to the spotlight and looking at, and I'm like, I like that. I like they, it's very poetic to
you're
me.
You're very Ben-like this morning.
I have a lot of likes, yeah. But there's
you wish Bernie Taupin wrote all the lyrics for the women. He loves to jam lots of words in.
And I just thought to myself, I said, I like the cadence of it, and that words are very important to me. They are. And I just was like, it's pretty good. So I listened to it coming in. And Paulie and I talked about how she's a little bit caught in between not having to, but catering to a very young crowd, but also an older crowd of 40-year-old women, 45-year-old and men too, whatever. Like, right. She's kind of in between. So she can do the love songs, the yearning songs, but she also needs to be, you know, has to stay, keep her pop sensibilities.
At this point, I think she's just catering to human beings now on the planet Earth, who seem to be her fan base seems to be the 8 billion people on planet Earth
right now. Crazy, man.
And she's pretty much captured them all.
And I listened to some of it. I'll probably listen to some more later. But a prolific artist, certainly. I mean, just no shortage of material.
I'm not, you know, you're the music expert in the crew, but anytime I've ever heard a artist talk, they say, like, writing a song, so very difficult.
To do a good one, yeah. To write a good one.
And yet, she's kind of, how many did she drop yesterday? 30?
Right.
I don't know the final count.
Well, songs. And you got to think, too, there's 60 that she went to choose from. And you know what I mean?
Those
are the 30
her
best
standards,
ones.
I think, are pretty high. She's not going to put something out if she doesn't feel good about it. Like, this is terrible, but I just need to fill out the last song or two. She must feel pretty good about all of them. Yet, Seems like she's also a busy person doing lots of other things as well, like touring and
dating,
you know, dating and Travis Kelce and flying to Chiefs games. Yet
I feel like she balances it well.
Yes, she's an overachiever.
Well,
she's an overachiever.
You think about that life that she has and that many people, you know, nobody's at her level really as far as stardom goes. I think it's a fair statement. No one's really at that level. And you think about how many people have their hand out. You think about how many people she has to worry about, make sure, you know, and she's really good about that, too. I respect her a lot. It's not for a 48-year-old man. It's really not. The music is really not made for me. But she has her head on straight, in my opinion. And, like, I've said it before, what she did for record stores during the pandemic to help keep them afloat is something to be lauded, admired. The most, I mean, you can walk into the seediest record store and the guy is behind the counter and he's like, he's in his Descendant shirt and he's punk rock till he dies. And they were all so effusive with their praise of Taylor Swift for sending them signed copies of records that they could sell to keep them afloat. And I just thought that was the coolest, most thoughtful thing to do.
Oh, and how she takes care of
her people,
employees and people who work on her tours is pretty amazing. And Roro in the chat says, well, stick to sports for real, please. I do think there's a lesson here for everybody, including superstar athletes, you know.
What are we supposed to talk about right now?
Because if somebody tells me to stick to sports again,
Yesterday, but
let's get into the NHL.
What is also amazing is you hear the stories, you know, when she shows up at a Chiefs game or something and how down to earth she still is.
Yeah, the sports,
despite being the biggest star.
Are you ready for football?
Despite being the biggest star on planet Earth, that she's remained a fairly down-to-earth, normal person. She hasn't gotten weird like so many pop stars tend to do when they're, you know, and I can understand when you're constantly in the spotlight.
It's a little contradictory because I am not a fan of Travis Kelce. Never have been.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah, you don't like him.
My opinion hasn't changed because they started dating. Not a fan. But if she's happy, great. Power to her, and it's been cool to see her, somebody who has, like, for all the reasons you just listed, her stardom, how big it is. She's going to Coachella. She's going to football games. Yeah, she's sitting in luxury boxes, but, like, she's living not normal, but she's living more out of her hidden cave than she was.
I complain about having to do stuff. I can't even imagine what that life's like. It's just like,
you don't want
that. I gotta level what? I gotta do what? Where do I have to go?
Is she a billionaire? Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. I mean, it's good. I listened to a few tracks this morning and also saw a couple of tweets coming out. People that we know, our buddy Eno Saris, who we had on yesterday, he didn't even mention he was in Las Vegas yesterday when we had him on. And he was. He was in Las Vegas for the Fish Spear Residency. And I saw some video come out of that and I went, holy cow. Now, I went to the U2 one. The visuals for that were stupid good. It's the best night of my life. I mean, truly. It was like the best, other than my kids being born and all that garbage, it was the best night of my life. Being at that show, seeing what I saw, feeling like I felt. There was nothing like it. I saw these visuals last night. I go, I don't even like fish, and I want to go. Staggeringly incredible. Knowing everyone in that place is like, eyes just bugged out of their minds.
I completely forgot that was this weekend that they were launching the residency. I went, you said something. I went and pulled it up on YouTube this morning before the show. It looked
unbelievable. It's stupid. Stupid.
Like, I felt like I was tripping.
Wait,
just by watching.
You're going to Vegas.
Henderson.
30 minutes. It's a 30-minute drive.
Ben at Fish
would be the greatest thing of all time.
If I was going to copy Eno at all, he also tweeted that he went to Emeril's Delmonico's Steakhouse for dinner, which I've said before, Shelley, one of our favorite restaurants of all time that we went to at least 3 or 4 times when we went to Vegas early in our romance, and it was just, it's always fantastic.
Yeah.
So
it's
fun.
It's the place looks incredible. So if you get to if you get to the chance to go to that, have fun and really
please
drink it in. We had a great day yesterday. We had the round table, and you've heard it a couple of times on the station since. If you missed it, you can go back and watch it. That's the thing is, I know I like tongue in cheek kind of complain about it, but I actually have a good time doing the round table. I'm just tired. But I really like getting to hang with Tony Gwynn Jr. and Craig and Annie and Ello. We had a good time. We had a good conversation yesterday. Jocelyn said somebody was commenting on me talking about my family during the round table yesterday. I didn't see that because I don't have access to the chat. Jocelyn says she took care of it. So thank you for that. I think I mentioned my son one time. I said, Bo Woods likes Bo Bichette. I think that's all
you.
I said.
How dare you?
I'm so tired of people that I can't even impart to you, Pauly, how tired I am of that garbage. So I'll say it.
I needed to hear for the 69th time your thoughts on Xander Bogaerts.
Where he should hit. The load off.
The load off.
I like that. Hit load off today. It's just like, like I said before, I'm going to talk about my family. If that's the worst thing you can say about me, put it on my tombstone at the end of the day. I love them. They're great. And they're hysterical. So
talk
I don't,
about them all you want.
I don't understand that bit.
Stop worrying about it. Just talk about them whenever you feel like talking about them.
Just stab somebody, though, that says it? But I'd like to.
But you can talk about it whenever you want. I thought the highlight of the roundtable was Tony Gwynn Jr.'s absolute hardline stance against superstition. Don't know that I've ever seen a baseball player take a harder line stance.
It's so
nuts. We were talking about can you mention the no-hitter? And Tony Gwynn Jr. absolutely, he was almost angry at people who would even give it any credence at all.
Yeah.
And he said, it was tough. I was in the booth with Bob. He was kind of dancing around it, and I wanted to be respectful. But I don't believe in any of that. You should be always saying it. He said what stunned me, even the very common superstition, like you get a hit, that bat, you're going to keep using that bat. If it's got some hits in it, you're going to keep doing it. He goes, never cared. I used a different bat every at bat, even if I just hit a double with it the time before.
That is which, by the way, I let him know, that in and of itself is a superstition. You switching your bat after you barrel a double in the gap is a superstition. Straight up. Like, that's a superstition. Now, you may not look at it that way, but it absolutely is it's a process that you go through you're so anti-superstition that you develop a superstition.
What would be non-superstitious? Like, you got like 7 or 8 bats in there, and you truly just grab one without ever thinking about which one it is.
Correct.
Every time.
That's no superstition.
That's non-superstitious.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny. We asked him about jumping over the white line, and he said, no, I dragged my toe across it.
We said, no,
you didn't. He goes, no, I jumped over it. Why? Because everybody else did. And that was my whole point yesterday on superstitions. You don't want to be the guy. Like, if you want to be the guy that people think jinxed it, then that's on you.
That's not necessarily superstition. That's just keeping a low profile.
Keeping a low pro. I love it. I love it. We really had a great time. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, but it's really a fun thing that we do. So hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll have another one for you next Thursday. Now, that one's going to be a little different. Benny's going to be out. Tony's not going to be there. So Annie's hosting. So me, Annie,
Craig,
Elston, and Ello.
Ello, yeah.
Whoo, boy.
Who's going to have a more difficult job? Annie wrangling all of you clowns next Thursday, or Ernie Johnson having to corral Shaq, Charles Barkley on a weekly basis? I mean, that show gets off the rails, and Ernie has
I think Ernie. Yeah, I think Ernie.
I modeled myself a little bit after Ernie.
And you do a good job.
He does such a good job. Always respect her.
Hannah's going to come co-host with us on Thursday, I think, hang out.
Sweet.
And she'd be part of the roundtable as well.
She just said, I can if you want. And I'm like, okay. Again, I have to host that day and then do the roundtable. I'm done. Your boy is just toast. Ben's going to be in Vegas. Hopefully you get a chance to go out.
Henderson.
He keeps reminding me that it's Henderson because he doesn't.
Where is Henderson?
30 minutes from Las Vegas.
Suburban Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
I want you and Scott to go to fish.
They're not going to fish.
Please go to fish. Why?
Neither of us are fish people at all.
It doesn't matter. Have you seen the sphere? I'm begging you.
Do something fun.
He's already been to the Sphere. He went to U2.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did. He's been to the Sphere.
All right, fine.
All right, we'll set the menu when we come back.
We got a shout out to his family coming up.
And a very early shout out to his family on a Friday. It's all coming up next. Glad to have you with us. End of the week is here. Ben Woods, Paul in studio, getting you ready for the weekend. Let's see how the traffic looks with Kelly Danick early on this Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Rest in peace. It's the great Dickie Betts, one of the last two remaining members of the Allman Brothers Band. Passed away yesterday at 80 years old. Benjamin passed away in Florida, surrounded by friends and family, was in no pain when he went, so they say. Nobody really knows. Oh, he was so peaceful. Thanks. You have no idea.
Thanks a lot for that encouraging thought.
Well, I mean, you don't know what's going on inside somebody. No, he was fine. He was good. Just drifted off, and it was all fine. That's a big assumption. It's a big leap to make, in my opinion. But Dickie Betts, one of the guys that you watch play guitar, and you go, I'm not going to even practice anymore. What's the point of practice? I'm good. Like, why would I?
That was a fun dream for a minute.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to try to do that. I can't do that, right?
And it's like watching Scottie Scheffler play golf,
right?
And go,
you're like, I'm done.
It's pointless.
This is stupid.
It's pointless.
This is stupid. Dickie Betts was just incredible and you know, responsible for some of the Allman Brothers' biggest hits, Jessica, Ramblin' Man.
Heard both of them yesterday.
Blue Sky. And just a great, great guitar player. One of the scariest dudes in rock and roll history, from what I understand. You know, he had some drug and alcohol issues and was pretty surly, I guess, to be around for a while. Got booted out of the band. But 80 years old when he passed. That's a hell of a run for Dickie Betts.
They gave him credit, at least who I was listening to talking yesterday, for basically paving the way for bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd and Southern Rock.
Yeah. Southern Rock. So, you know how we do it on this show for the family of Dickie Betts.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
You know who would have hated David Guetta? Dickie Betts would have absolutely hated David Guetta and all that would implied him on the rooftop of that bar. That I promise you. That I can say. I don't know if he died peacefully. I can say he probably would have hated David Guetta. And I rest pretty easy thinking that, man. He was Ben, it was him and Dwayne Allman were the kind of, they would go back and forth. And then Dwayne Allman passed away. And so he's like, oh, cool. Now I'm the guy. And he had to learn all of Dwayne's parts and all of, you know, his parts that he already did. Incredible, incredible band. I don't listen to enough Allman Brothers.
Like, if you passed away, I'd have to learn how to talk about your kids
all
the time.
Yeah, you talk about Bo and Taylor.
And,
yeah, exactly.
Just constantly and do your part just of constant, the show as
which
well.
It's really all I contribute is just kid talk to the show. Some guy DM'd me the other night and he was on Instagram. We had played a little clip, Throwback Thursday clip, last week. And and it was at 9:48 or something. But we're done. I mean, we're cash. We're out of material. Went to the Throwback Thursday well. And it was the one where the bird flew in the window. And we were laughing about it. It was a funny moment. And this guy lost his mind. And he's like, get back to sports, man. A bird in a window, really? I just wrote back, no. Right? At the time. And then he proceeds to go on about how I'm an idiot and I'm a buffoon. And he said this quote, Ben has a brilliant sports mind. And I went, all right. So I asked Ben yesterday, do you think you have a brilliant sports mind? What was your answer?
Yes.
Yes, he says. So good.
I make insightful points.
Yes, you do.
Spot on my analysis.
Always, always,
brilliant
always.
Brilliant sports mind.
God, I hate people sometimes.
But the good news is that I'm just comparing myself to the rest of this industry and the bar is very low.
That's true. It's so true.
That's good.
Very, very. Jocelyn thinks it might have been you on your burner account on Instagram.
That's a good.
I've been all along.
They all thought it was Woods. It's actually me, and I enjoy tormenting Woods most of all.
It wouldn't surprise me in this business. I've seen it all. It wouldn't surprise me to find that Ben has been torturing me. Stop talking about your kids, man. So good. I like my brilliant mind. Says Ben. The menu is, you know, it's a little light today.
All right, Friday menu. Obviously, we've got we had no game yesterday to talk about. We do have one coming up tonight as the Padres return home for a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. And see a lot of people pointing it out, so we will wish a happy birthday. Jackson Merrill turning 21 today.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hey, Jackson.
His quote about his birthday. They did a story on him in the UT. It's just a day.
I like that kid.
It's just a day. He just wants to go play baseball and have a good night. He does not care about the birthday, does not care about 21, going and, you know, having some legal beers or anything.
That's fine.
It's just a day, he says.
I hope and pray that the teammates around him are not going to let him think it's just a day.
Force him to have some fun.
They're going to go out and get that dub tonight, and then they are going to rage.
I like
what
that,
you do.
I like that kid so much, man. I really do. He is a really, really good kid, and his head is on straight. And that's something that you have to, you know, say, and you have to have that mentality. I mean, that's what he loves to do. How cool is that? What he did last night? Did you see what he did?
What Jackson Merrill did last night? No,
went out to the Storm game.
Yeah, I saw that.
He did.
Yes,
I said
Jurison Profar went down to a Tijuana Toros game.
So rad.
Everyone's going to games on their off day, and then Sammy Leavitt was there.
Yeah, Sammy Leavitt was there.
He actually called the action.
We got some. We'll get some audio of Sammy last night. Called the middle innings.
It was a walk off win for Dylan Head at the end of the night.
Love him,
on a blooper down the line. So we will talk about the Padres. No one's ever accused us, I don't think, of being too negative about the team.
Nope.
We've been accused of being too positive.
Yes, for sure.
Cheerleaders, rah-rah, morning show on the flagship station.
Yeah,
is it possible, though, we are not optimistic enough about the San Diego Padres? A new piece in Fangraphs is making the argument that we may need to be a little bit more optimistic about your San Diego Padres. We'll talk about that coming up.
That was an interesting article. That really was.
I thought it was, too.
It was an interesting article and definitely something we can bite down on today.
At 7 o'clock, we'll play Take on Woods, try to qualify a Tier 1 for a trip to Las Vegas, or if you want to visit Henderson, it's very close.
It is.
While you're in Vegas. Don't do this as well. In the second half of the show, we got our guests coming in. It's a Barbecue Friday, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Jake Mintz will be with us at 8 o'clock, and then at 8:30, we'll do an early Rindle report so we can set the stage for our weekly conversation with the skipper, Mike Schilt. Our managers report at 9 a.m. this morning as they return home with an 11-10 record in second place in the National League West to open the three-game series against the Blue Jays tonight at Petco Park.
Now, that's one thing I don't know that we should I don't know that we should do the standings for a while, right? Doesn't really matter right now. Do you agree?
It doesn't matter, but
not really.
But there's no reason you can't keep track of it.
That's true. That's the sportscaster in you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Your second place San Diego Padres.
The fact that I noticed since last night the Giants.
Call them the fourth place Padres if they'd stumbled a little bit.
Yeah,
April 19th.
I don't think so. I think if it's positive, maybe you say it.
Yeah.
Positive-ish. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, like the Giants beat the Diamondbacks 5-0 last night. They're both 9-11 now.
Got it.
So the Padres are solidly in second place now. And only a game out of first place
now,
behind the LA Dodgers.
I watched the scoreboard like a madman. I do, and I checked that score last night. But I really don't watch the standings yet. I'm not a big standings watcher yet. But
there really is no point.
That's why you're a brilliant.
You don't even know who to cheer for or against at this point.
I know. You're hoping they go 20 innings.
Well, I want the Dodgers to do poorly, but the Dodgers could lose, and in the end, that could bite you in the butt because those wins that the teams got when they beat the Dodgers could actually be the teams you're competing against
if the Dodgers are taking on, like, the Brewers and the Cubs and teams that you feel like maybe in that wild card hunt down the road.
You just don't know.
You don't know yet, so you got to let it materialize a little bit more. But, yeah, we'll have some fun today. It's a Friday. It's loose.
Loose. All right, we'll get into the Padres, the optimism surrounding this baseball team early in the season when we come back with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Perhaps it's just the mentality of being a San Diego sports fan for so long, but you always feel like you're trying to defend your team against how bad your team must really be. And I do understand why the national perception of the Padres going into this season was pretty low.
Yeah.
After a disappointing year, they slashed payroll. They lost a ton of good pitching, including the Cy Young Award winner, arguably the best closer in the game, and maybe the best hitter in the game as well. If that's though those are my bullet points, and I'm somewhere in, you know, Nashville or Connecticut, and I am a baseball fan, and that's all I know about the Padres. Oh, they weren't that good last year, and they lost three critical players. That's going to be one of worst teams in baseball, right? They're going to be awful.
Well, I mean, and you're not even mentioning Lugo, Walker, and Martinez. You had to rebuild your entire rotation. So if you have those notes in front of you, you go, oh, yeah, this team's winning 60 games.
They're starting who in center field?
Right, yeah. Is that a rookie?
I fully understand the national perception this time about the San Diego Padres.
As do I.
Now, I was hoping that they might surprise some people. But what surprised me is that already here, 20 games in, you're starting to see some of the national perception change. And I want to get into this piece that came out in FanGraphs yesterday about what truly the 2024 San Diego Padres are and may end up being this year. And we'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So Leo Morgenstern, one of the writers at FanGraphs, and if you don't know FanGraphs, there are a number of analytical baseball sites that are out there. I think FanGraphs may be one of the best, if not the best, for following the sport. They constantly are putting out interesting, well thought out, well researched and argued pieces about Major League Baseball teams. And the headline on this one is, hey, these Padres are still pretty good. And what actually even surprised me, because they went through the whole, oh, yeah, they lost a lot in the offseason. There's no doubt about that. And it was going to be tough to replace what they lost. However, then they went through the additions, the Juan Soto trade, the pitchers they picked up, and some of the other moves that AJ made. And what really surprised me in the end is the analysis that the Padres, when, you know, at full strength, and that includes, by the way, Donovan Solano coming up at some point here after he finishes his extended spring training and maybe joining the team as a designated hitter. FanGraphs now projecting that every player in the Padres lineup will be above average offensively this season based on WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, that they will have a lineup of 9 above average hitters on the team, essentially.
Except Jackson Merrill.
But they also make the point that they're working on a pretty small sample size, and everything has been really encouraging about Jackson Merrill. And they have him just a tick under, but they say absolutely, based on the start, he could be an above-average player. Now, they make the argument, of course, that Jerickson Profar is probably not going to keep up his torrid pace from early in the season. However, he's off to such a hot start that even if he comes back to earth, he could still end up being an above-average offensive player this year. They also say Xander Bogaerts has been well below average offensively this year, but they still project him to bounce back and have a decent season and finish above average offensively. And if all their projections do come to bear, that the Padres will actually be really one of the better offenses in the league. And it will come down to pitching in terms of, you know, whether or not this team can make the playoffs at the end of the season.
And the note, too, about Xander that was interesting, he said the newly minted second baseman hitting an abysmal 200 right now, 60 WRC plus. Again, average on WRC plus is 100. So if you're at 60, that's not good. You want to be above 100. 100 is average. So he said, If Profar inevitably regresses by about 50 points, which is what they're projecting right now, you can expect Bogaerts to increase by the same amount. Therefore, you know, in a perfect world of projections, Ben, a wash, essentially. Like, one comes down to earth, one gets back going. And I think all of us would sign up for that. My hope is that Jerickson Profar just never lets his foot off the gas. And again, no one's going to continue on the pace that he's in, that he's on right now. But holy smokes, man, like, why not shoot for a very consistent above average season, which I don't know that I thought he was capable of until I actually watched him play this year. And now I think, yeah, okay, I can see that happening. And Xander needs to get it going. And if he can get his back up to where it needs to be, for sure, man, it's a more complete, balanced lineup all the way through.
Now, FanGraphs says here, and I'll read this directly, our playoff odds currently give the Padres a 46.2% chance to make the postseason. And they have the third highest odds, 35.3%, to secure a National League wildcard berth, trailing only the Phillies and Diamondbacks. The race remains wide open with the Mets, Giants, and whoever doesn't win the NL Central also in the running. San Diego is only one game above 500, but at this point in the season, that's an 85-win pace. There's a lot of season left to play, but as things stand, the Padres are in pretty good shape. And that's from FanGraphs. 46.2%. That's basically a coin flip.
Yep.
Toss it in the air. Heads or tails about whether the Padres make the playoffs. And if it does come up, heads for your San Diego Padres this season and things continue to go fairly well, I think everybody in the Padres fan base will be pretty happy to see a playoff appearance this year from the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, and like everything, obviously it's health dependent. And, you know, the injury bug is rearing his head a little bit right now with Yu Darvish being on the IL and, of course, Jake Cronenworth. We're talking to Mike Shilton about 2 hours and 14 minutes. And I want to ask him, you know, about the health of those guys, when you can expect them back, Jake back in the lineup, certainly, because he's not on the IL. He's hopefully ready to go tonight for this series and just a big, big part of this lineup. And you know, want to ask him, too, about Xander and getting him going and thinking about changing the lineup and all of that as well. But yeah, it's always nice to see an encouraging article. And there were, I'll be honest, there were plenty of people in the media that did say, yes, you lose all those great players, you lose all those innings, but we've seen this before. You know, we've seen this before. I don't want to do the addition by subtraction thing, but you've added some decent pieces. If we stay healthy, Ben, we have as good of a shot at making the playoffs as anybody, because I do feel like we do have the guns to get us there. And I think it starts with, and they start with this in the article, the guy that we really needed to be himself was Fernando Tatis Jr. After a pretty dismal second half last year, his WRC plus right now is 148. And that's where you need him to be. He is a star, and he needs to do star things.
Now, just because FanGraphs says something or projects something doesn't automatically make it true, and they know that as well. But one thing that they don't know and that none of us know is the thinking inside the organization. Now, they believe that Donovan Solano is going to be a pretty decent hitter when they bring him up. Not great fielding, although he can play multiple positions. They said the only position where he's really above average is probably first base. But as a designated hitter, they believe that Donovan Solano is more than an adequate solution for the San Diego Padres going forward. Woods, do you believe that is the plan for the Padres? They signed him. They haven't really said much about him other than sending him to Arizona to, you know, get locked in at this point. But do you think that in a week, a day, 2 weeks, whatever it takes, that we're going to start seeing, when Manny Machado's back playing third, that Donovan Solano is going to be a somewhat everyday player for the San Diego Padres? Was that why they signed him, for that purpose?
I would imagine. He barrels the baseball, and that's what you're really looking for. And they've really, you know, we're too stuck in our ways of traditional thinking. But, I mean, we've seen Mike Shildt play matchups plenty this year. We've absolutely seen him play matchups. And they're throwing kind of that out of the window. You know, we have plenty of right-handed hitters, and that's why we all kind of were lampooning and calling for Brandon Belt, you know, a lefty hitter that can hit the ball in the gaps. And they just said they like whatever they like about Solano. Probably the price is probably a little bit better than Brandon Belt right now, too. But he also barrels the baseball. I don't know what his splits are or whatever, righty-lefty. But you've got Eggie Rosario, who can hit lefties if Solano can't and is better for right-handed pitching. I don't know, but I do like that pickup. It was a sneaky good one.
It's just funny. We spent so much time talking about a member of the late 2010s Giants as possibly being the Padres' answer at designated hitter, and yet it was never the right one. We kept talking about Brandon Belt, and apparently Jay Preller always seemed to have his eye on Donovan Solano as the guy who could be the answer for him from that same team that we remember, you know, playing against in the National League West for multiple seasons.
And I don't know, again, what the plan is. We can ask the skipper. Will we see Donovan Solano in the lineup tonight? You know, could happen. Right.
I mean, theoretically, they could activate him and he could be there tonight. They have not made any moves as of yet. And as far as I know, he remains in Arizona still getting work in. But If he had been, you know, staying sharp during the offseason, there's no reason a veteran going to need more than a, you know, week or two to really get totally ready for the season.
It was a week ago today.
Was it a week ago today?
I believe.
So he's had some time. I'm sure they're evaluating on a daily basis to see where he's at, if they're anticipating bringing him up. So, yeah, we can definitely ask Mike Schilts about the Donovan Solano plan. He may defer a little bit. Yeah, well, you know, when they send him to me, we will.
That's when we'll put him in the lineup.
We'll put him in the lineup. Until then, we got guys we like, and
yeah,
we're gonna continue to roll those guys out there. But we can ask and see what they have to say about it. But pretty encouraging piece for someone who's already optimistic about the San Diego Padres. Just naturally,
yesterday was your Super Bowl.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh wow, I may be underselling this team just a tad this season.
What did they say? The Padres had the best record in baseball since August 31st of last year, which is funny.
That was the note that they had since August 31st of last year.
Crazy,
Padres
right?
have the best record in baseball and the second best run differential in all of baseball.
Yeah, very exciting day for you. The second best run differential. They're scoring plenty of runs.
Which, of course, took to mean had they invited the Padres to the playoffs last year, they would have won the World Series.
Correct.
They lost their invitation in the mail.
That's exactly right.
You did not have the best team in baseball, even part of your postseason. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
MLB.
Yeah,
an oversight on your part.
Correct. Yeah, and it's what makes last season so tough to stomach, thinking about all the ones that got away. You know, the Kansas City series, the Cincinnati series, the ones that the Pirates just Brewers. murdered you. And that's what makes it so hard to stomach. Like, you guys couldn't win those games, right? And that's what, you know, that's what you look at this year, and especially right now with a 3-game set against the Blue Jays and then 4 against the Rockies. I was glad to see that, you know, you were downplaying the Rockies a little bit yesterday. Tony Gwynn Jr. is with me. It's a house of horrors. It's a house of horrors there. That's the series I'm most nervous about so far this year. Next week. Monday through Thursday.
Down a starting pitcher. No, I mean, there's certainly an argument to be worried about that series.
Hate that place. Hate it. Hate watching games there.
Just a couple of games last night. Giants, as I said, beat the Diamondbacks 5-0. Logan Webb was really good. 7 innings, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts.
Nasty.
Jack Leiter made his major league debut for the Texas Rangers, the second overall pick in 2021. He's the nephew of Al Leiter and the son of Mark Leiter, yep. Right? Looks just like him, except throwing from the opposite side of the mound.
I thought he was Al Leiter's son.
Oh, he's Al Leiter's son.
Mark Leiter's nephew is Mark Leiter Jr., I think.
Mark Leiter Jr. is Mark Leiter's son. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot more sense, yeah.
It'd be weird if Al Leiter's son was Mark Leiter Jr.
That would be a
that wouldn't add up.
Odd naming convention.
I could be wrong, though.
Anyway, he kind of struggled. He had one really bad inning. 3 2/3, 8 hits, 7 earned runs, but the Rangers did win the game 9-7. Like the Texas Rangers, who, of course, won the World Series last year, the Padres at some point are hoping to bring up a couple of these top pitching prospects. I don't think they want to rush them. Robbie Snelling is a name we certainly had our eye on in spring training. The guy who's off to the best start, though, and pitched again last night, is Adam Mazur. And he has really thrown well. I think he's given up like one run in 16 innings or something like that so far in the minor leagues. And while he may not have the best stuff, saw our friend Kevin Charity from Mad Friars tweeting about him and said, I think the person I'm most wrong about is Adam Mazur. He has got the best command and best, like, intellect for pitching in the Padres minor leagues. And I think he said, I think he looks very close to ready. If the Padres need a pitcher soon, that he might be the one that gets the first opportunity from the young wave of pitchers coming up for the Padres.
Yeah, excited to see it, you know. And what you hope, though, is you don't need them a ton this year, right? If you need those guys, if you're calling on those guys a lot this year, that means that you're suffering a lot of injuries to your starting pitching rotation. And Jeremiah Estrada, I think, had another good outing last night as well. Throwing hard, man, 98 miles an hour and getting K's, swing and miss and all that. So there should be some transactions here in the next few days. And again, as I belabor the point, when you go to Colorado, you need all the arms that you can have. You just can't have too much pitching.
Perhaps it's just the mentality of being a San Diego sports fan for so long. But you always feel like you're trying to defend your team. Again, of how bad your team must really be. And I understand I do understand why the national perception of the Padres going into this season was pretty low.
Yeah.
After a disappointing year, they slashed payroll. They lost a ton of good pitching, including the Cy Young Award winner, arguably the best closer in the game, and maybe the best hitter in the game as well. Though those are my bullet points, and I'm somewhere in, you know, Nashville or Connecticut, and I am a baseball fan, and that's all I know about the Padres. Oh, they weren't that good last year, and they lost three critical players. That's going to be one of worst teams in baseball, right? They're going to be awful.
Well, I mean, and you're not even mentioning Lugo, Walker, and Martinez. You had to rebuild your entire rotation. So if you have those notes in front of you, you go, oh, yeah, this team's winning 60 games.
They're starting who in center field?
Right, yeah. Is that a rookie?
I fully understand the national perception this time about the San Diego Padres.
As do I.
Now, I was hoping that they might surprise some people. But what surprised me is that already here, 20 games in, you're starting to see some of the national perception change. And I want to get into this piece that came out in FanGraphs yesterday about what truly the 2024 San Diego Padres are and may end up being this year. And we'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier way to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So Leo Morgenstern, one of the writers at FanGraphs, and if you don't know FanGraphs, there are a number of analytical baseball sites that are out there. I think FanGraphs may be one of the best, if not the best, for following the sport. They constantly are putting out interesting, well thought out, well researched and argued pieces about Major League Baseball teams. And the headline on this one is, hey, these Padres are still pretty good. And what actually even surprised me, because they went through the whole, oh, yeah, they lost a lot in the offseason. There's no doubt about that. And it was going to be tough to replace what they lost. However, then they went through the additions, the Juan Soto trade, the pitchers they picked up, and some of the other moves that AJ made. And what really surprised me in the end is the analysis that the Padres, when, you know, at full strength, and that includes, by the way, Donovan Solano coming up at some point here after he finishes his extended spring training and maybe joining the team as a designated hitter. FanGraphs now projecting that every player in the Padres lineup will be above average offensively this season based on WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, that they will have a lineup of 9 above average hitters on the team, essentially.
Except Jackson Merrill.
But they also make the point that they're working on a pretty small sample size, and everything has been really encouraging about Jackson Merrill. And they have him just a tick under, but they say absolutely, based on the start, he could be an above-average player. Now, they make the argument, of course, that Jerickson Profar is probably not going to keep up his torrid pace from early in the season. However, he's off to such a hot start that even if he comes back to earth, he could still end up being an above-average offensive player this year. They also say Xander Bogaerts has been well below average offensively this year, but they still project him to bounce back and have a decent season and finish above average offensively. And if all their projections do come to bear, that the Padres will actually be really one of the better offenses in the league. And it will come down to pitching in terms of, you know, whether or not this team can make the playoffs at the end of the season.
And the note, too, about Xander that was interesting, he said the newly minted second baseman hitting an abysmal 200 right now, 60 WRC plus. Again, average on WRC plus is 100. So if you're at 60, that's not good. You want to be above 100. 100 is average. So he said, If Profar inevitably regresses by about 50 points, which is what they're projecting right now, you can expect Bogaerts to increase by the same amount. Therefore, you know, in a perfect world of projections, Ben, a wash, essentially. Like, one comes down to earth, one gets back going. And I think all of us would sign up for that. My hope is that Jerickson Profar just never lets his foot off the gas. And again, no one's going to continue on the pace that he's in, that he's on right now. But holy smokes, man, like, why not shoot for a very consistent above average season, which I don't know that I thought he was capable of until I actually watched him play this year. And now I think, yeah, okay, I can see that happening. And Xander, yeah, Xander needs to get it going. And if he can get his back up to where it needs to be, for sure, man, it's a more complete, balanced lineup all the way through.
Now, Fangraphs says here, and I'll read this directly, our playoff odds currently give the Padres a 46.2% chance to make the postseason. And they have the third highest odds, 35.3%, to secure a National League wildcard berth, trailing only the Phillies and Diamondbacks. The race remains wide open with the Mets, Giants, and whoever doesn't win the NL Central also in the running. San Diego is only one game above 500, but at this point in the season, that's an 85-win pace. There's a lot of season left to play, but as things stand, the Padres are in pretty good shape. And that's from Fangraphs, 46.2%. That's basically a coin flip.
Yep.
Toss it in the air, heads or tails, about whether the Padres make the playoffs. And if it does come up, heads for your San Diego Padres this season, and things continue to go fairly well, I think everybody in the Padres fan base will be pretty happy to see a playoff appearance this year from the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, and like everything, obviously it's health dependent. And, you know, the injury bug is rearing his head a little bit right now with Yu Darvish being on the IL and, of course, Jake Cronenworth. We're talking to Mike Shelton about 2 hours and 14 minutes. And I want to ask him, you know, about the health of those guys, when you can expect them back, Jake back in the lineup, certainly, because he's not on the IL. He's hopefully ready to go tonight for this series. And just a big, big part of this lineup. And you know, want to ask him, too, about Xander and getting him going and thinking about changing the lineup and all of that as well. But yeah, it's always nice to see an encouraging article. And there were, I'll be honest, there were plenty of people in the media that did say, yes, you lose all those great players, you lose all those innings, but we've seen this before. You know, we've seen this before. I don't want to do the addition by subtraction thing, but you've added some decent pieces. If we stay healthy, Ben, we have as good of a shot at making the playoffs as anybody, because I do feel like we do have the guns to get us there. And I think it starts with, and they start with this in the article, the guy that we really needed to be himself was Fernando Tatis Jr. After a pretty dismal second half last year, his WRC plus right now is 148. And that's where you need him to be. He is a star, and he needs to do star things.
Now, just because Fangraphs says something or projects something doesn't automatically make it true, and they know that as well. But one thing that they don't know, and that none of us know, is the thinking inside the organization. Now, they believe that Donovan Solano is going to be a pretty decent hitter when they bring him up. Not great fielding, although he can play multiple positions. They said the only position where he's really above average is probably first base. But as a designated hitter, they believe that Donovan Solano is more than an adequate solution for the San Diego Padres going forward. Woods, do you believe that is the plan for the Padres? They signed him. They haven't really said much about him other than sending him to Arizona to, you know, get locked in at this point. But do you think that in a week, a day, 2 weeks, whatever it takes, that we're going to start seeing, when Manny Machado's back playing third, that Donovan Solano is going to be a somewhat everyday player for the San Diego Padres? Was that why they signed him, for that purpose?
I would imagine. He barrels the baseball, and that's what you're really looking for. And they've really, you know, we're too stuck in our ways of traditional thinking. But, I mean, we've seen Mike Shildt play matchups plenty this year. We've absolutely seen him play matchups. And they're throwing kind of that out of the window. You know, we have plenty of right-handed hitters, and that's why we all kind of were lampooning and calling for Brandon Belt, you know, a lefty hitter that can hit the ball in the gaps. And they just said they like whatever they like about Solano. Probably the price is probably a little bit better than Brandon Belt right now, too. But he also barrels the baseball. I don't know what his splits are or whatever, righty-lefty. But you've got Eggy Rosario, who can hit lefties if Solano can't and is better for right-handed pitching. I don't know, but I do like that pickup. It was a sneaky good one.
It's just funny. We spent so much time talking about a member of the late 2010s Giants as possibly being the Padres' answer at designated hitter, and yet it was never the right one. We kept talking about Brandon Belt, and apparently J. Preller always seemed to have his eye on Donovan Solano as the guy who could be the answer for him from that same team that we remember, you know, playing against in the National League West for multiple seasons.
And I don't know, again, what the plan is. We can ask the skipper. Will we see Donovan Solano in the lineup tonight? You know, could happen. Right.
I mean, theoretically. They could activate him and he could be there tonight. They have not made any moves as of yet. And as far as I know, he remains in Arizona still getting work in. But if he had been, staying sharp during the offseason, there's no reason a veteran going to need more than a, you know, week or two to really get totally ready and for the season.
It was a week ago today.
Was it a week ago today?
I believe.
So he's had some time. I'm sure they're evaluating on a daily basis to see where he's at, if they're anticipating bringing him up. So, yeah, we can definitely ask Mike Schilt about the Donovan Solano plan. He may defer a little bit. Yeah, well, you know, when they send him to me, we will.
That's when we'll put him in the lineup.
We'll put him in the lineup. Until then, we got guys we like, and
yeah,
we're gonna continue to roll those guys out there. But we can ask and see what they have to say about it. But pretty encouraging piece for someone who's already optimistic about the San Diego Padres. Just naturally,
yesterday was your Super Bowl.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh wow, I may be underselling this team just a tad this season.
What did they say? The Padres have the best record in baseball since August 31st of last year, which is funny.
That was the note that they had since August 31st of last year.
Crazy,
Padres
right?
have the best record in baseball and the second best run differential in all of baseball.
Yeah, very exciting day for you. The second best run differential. They're scoring plenty of runs.
Which right I, now. Of course, took to mean had they invited the Padres to the playoffs last year, they would have won the World Series.
Correct.
They lost their invitation in the mail.
That's exactly right.
You did not have the best team in baseball, even part of your postseason. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
MLB.
What
an oversight on your part.
Correct. Yeah, and it's what makes last season so tough to stomach, thinking about all the ones that got away. You know, the Kansas City series, the Cincinnati series, the ones that totally got it. Yeah, the Pirates just Brewers. murdered you. And that's what makes it so hard to stomach. Like, you guys couldn't win those games, right? And that's what, you know, that's what you look at this year, and especially right now with a 3-game set against the Blue Jays and then 4 against the Rockies. I was glad to see that, you know, you were downplaying the Rockies a little bit yesterday. Tony Gwynn Jr. is with me. It's a house of horrors. It's a house of horrors there. That's the series I'm most nervous about so far this year. Next week. Monday through Thursday.
Down a starting pitcher. No, I mean, there's certainly an argument to be worried about that series.
Hate that place. Hate it. Hate watching games there.
Just a couple of games last night. Giants, as I said, beat the Diamondbacks 5-0. Logan Webb was really good. 7 innings, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts.
Nasty.
Jack Leiter made his major league debut for the Texas Rangers, the second overall pick in 2021. He's the nephew of Al Leiter and the son of Mark Leiter,
yeah.
Right? Looks just like him, except throwing from the opposite side of the mound.
I thought he was Al Leiter's son.
Oh, he's Al Leiter's son.
Mark Leiter's nephew. Mark Leiter is Mark Leiter Jr., I think.
Mark Leiter Jr. is Mark Leiter's son. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot more sense, yeah.
It'd be weird if Al Leiter's son was Mark Leiter Jr.
That would be a
that wouldn't add up.
Odd naming convention.
I could be wrong, though.
Anyway, he kind of struggled. He had one really bad inning. 3 2/3, 8 hits, 7 earned runs, but the Rangers did win the game 9-7. Like the Texas Rangers, who, of course, won the World Series last year, the Padres at some point are hoping to bring up a couple of these top pitching prospects. I don't think they want to rush them. Robbie Snelling is a name we certainly had our eye on in spring training. The guy who's off to the best start, though, and pitched again last night, is Adam Mazur. And he has really thrown well. He's given up like one run in 16 innings or something like that so far in the minor leagues. And while he may not have the best stuff, saw our friend Kevin Charity from Mad Friars tweeting about him and said, I think the person I'm most wrong about is Adam Mazur. He has got the best command and best, like, intellect for pitching in the Padres minor leagues. And I think he said, I think he looks very close to ready. If the Padres need a pitcher soon, that he might be the one that gets the first opportunity from the young wave of pitchers coming up for the Padres.
Yeah, excited to see it, you know. And what you hope, though, is you don't need them a ton this year, right? If you need those guys, if you're calling on those guys a lot this year, that means that you're suffering a lot of injuries to your starting pitching rotation. And Jeremiah Estrada, I think, had another good outing last night as well. Throwing hard, man, 98 miles an hour and getting K's, swing and miss and all that. So there should be some transactions here in the next few days. And again, as I belabor the point, when you go to Colorado, you need all the arms that you can have. You just can't have too much pitching when you go there. It can just get away from you quick.
That's true.
You got to have it.
That's true. I wouldn't be surprised if they sometimes make a mid-series move in Colorado just so they can
make sure.
Cycle in a couple of extra bullpen arms and just make sure you're never left short in a four-game series at Coors Field.
You know, and I do, there's something to be said, too. If you're going to bring up one of these guys, is that the best place to do it? But then again, the AAA guys may be used to it.
I mean, they have done it before. I remember in the past, but
Was it Lauer?
It might have been.
And it was like, oh my God, watching someone die.
I don't know that I'd bring up a Snelling or a Mazur.
No.
But you can cycle in some of your other bullpen options in Colorado just to get through the series. So, first though, of course, it's the Toronto Blue Jays. Three games tonight's matchup is Yariel Rodriguez, who's been good on the mound for the Blue Jays this season. Matt Waldron has been very good his last couple of outings for the Padres as well. After that first shaky inning, essentially, he's been good. He's been good as that fifth starter for the Padres. He'll get an opportunity tonight.
Was Yariel the one that pitched for Cuba?
I think so.
I liked him, man. Ooh, boy.
540 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sammy Levin tonight. So we'll come back. Taquan Woods is ahead. It was a quiet night in sports, except for Stephen Woods, who actually had a better...
This is amazing.
Who is more into the sports watching than anyone else in the country. We'll explain why coming up next here on The Fan.